Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Everybody raise your right hand. Okay, now put your hand on top of your head. Like this. Because I believe in the laying on of hands. Now everybody confess this. I believe the blessings of the Lord are upon my life today. Prosperity is coming to me today. I have divine health in my body. I have peace in my heart. I have favor with God and man. I have the victory over all the works of the enemy. And I'm more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name. I told you I'm a firm believer in the laying of hands. That's probably one of the reasons I don't have much hair on my head anymore. I remember I always wanted T.L. Osborne to lay hands on me, and I found out he's going to be in Chicago, and I flew to Chicago. I got in the service with him, and when he finished preaching, I hemmed him in a corner. I said, "Brother Osborne, I love you, but you're not getting out of this corner till you lay hands on me." And so he laid hands on, prayed for me, and that night, R.W. Shambach preached. "Brother Shambach, you can't get out of this corner till you lay hands on me and pray for me." And Charles Capps and John Avanzini and I can't remember who else. And so that's one of the reasons it's a little short up here today. I want to share something with you that God's really put on my heart. And, you know, it's very difficult to turn on the television or the internet and hear anything positive. I tell you, it is the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. And the words that we hear will affect our lives if we let it. It can affect our lives good or bad. The problem is the majority of people today only listen to the negative, and they believe that, and they believe the worst, and they live that way the rest of their life. And I tell you, God has something far better for us. What we hear and listen to is very, very important. This is what I praise God for Lawson and Barbara and for this church. This is a church that always preaches the Word, always preaches faith, always lifting up the Word of God, lifting up the name of Jesus, and lifting up individuals to live a life of victory. Thank God for this church. I tell you, people, you don't understand. There's a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that they don't preach the gospel anymore. Did you know that? They preach a little something to kind of make you feel good, and that's about it. Brother, I tell you, we need the Word of God. We need to know how to live a victorious life. This is one of the things with Andrew and his ministry and the Bible school there. All of this. I tell you, these guys, their ministry, I'm not going to say a thing about you or you either one. Oh, yeah. Well, Joseph came down to see us with Lawson. Yeah. Yeah, you canceled. Yeah. He was supposed to be in March and he canceled. I remember that. I marked that on my calendar. No, you know I'm just joking. But these are guys, all of these guys here, and Aaron and his wife and all. I tell you, you do not understand how great it is to be connected with people that will teach the Word of God to you to build up your faith so you'll rise up and live a victorious life. I tell you. I know you've gone through a lot of things here in the United States, but you should have been in Mexico. You know, how'd you like to have a church and no members could come for 6 months? Just 3 weeks ago, they started allowing us to have some of our church members come to our service. We did services on Sunday morning and Tuesday night live over the internet. And over, we have a television channel, is over television also. That's how we preach the gospel. But you know, to me, it was a little difficult to stand up in front of a camera and preach and have no people there in front to say hallelujah or praise God or what'd you say? You know, stuff like that. Anyway, I want to share real quickly. Over in the book of Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells the story about a farmer that goes out and sows seeds. And you talk about some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell among the thorns, and some fell on good ground. And it talks about what each one produced. The ones on stone, out on the path, they didn't do anything with it. It did nothing for them. The ones on stony ground, they got it, but then they didn't have any roots, you know. And so after a little while, they fell by the wayside. And the others that heard it, they began to prosper. They began to do all right. And then they began to forget about why and how it all came about, the blessings into their life. And they lost it all. And then he talks about those that heard the word and applied the word and what it did for them and their life. And so these are the things I just want to mention to you about the importance of what we hear. What you hear and what you do with what you hear will determine the outcome in your life. So these are the things, about three things I want to mention real quickly. Number one, how does God speak to us? Number one, he speaks to us through his word. You understand? The word of God. That's why we encourage everybody, get a Bible, read the Bible every day. Read and study. Look at the promises of God. I tell you, I carry with me a pencil. It's red on one end and blue on the other end. I've always got one of those. And as I'm reading, I'm marking, and I'll underline, and I'll shade it in, and I may put a little star over to the side of it, something to remind me of promises in God's word that speaks to me. Amen? Because it's the word of God. First of all, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody says, well, I want more faith. Well, hear the word of God. You hear the word of God by getting into the Bible, reading and studying the word of God. And in the word of God, God will speak to you. Now, let me give you just two or three little examples. When we first moved to Mexico, I had a brand new Suburban. And I had an old bitty two-wheel trailer. And on that trailer was a gospel tent and the poles and stakes and everything and a few chairs in it. And we hadn't been there 6 months, and another missionary came up to me and he said, hey, I'm going to get married. And I said, well, congratulations. And he said, well, we're going to get married up on a mountain where a little village called Santa Maria. And he said, you know, I was wondering, he said, there's a little church up there, but it's not big enough for the wedding. And could I borrow your tent? And I thought, well, yeah, sure, we can do that. And he said, well, now, see, there's a problem. I only have a motorcycle. Could you take that up, the tent up there for me? And I said, well, yeah, okay. And so I began to talk to other missionaries. And I said, well, I'm going up to Jim's wedding, and I'm taking a tent up there. And they said, you've never been up there before, have you? I said, well, no, why? Oh, no reason. We just wondered. So anyway, I loaded that tent up on the trailer, hooked it up. I drove down to a little town, picked up Jim. Jim said, well, look, we're going to have a meal after the wedding. Could you take this food? And so he loaded the back end of my Suburban with food. Then he said, well, there's six other people that need a ride up there. Can you give them a ride? So I said, okay. So I got them in the truck. And so here we start. And so we drive about 30 minutes. We come to a little village. And we turn off the road, and one of the missionary guys that's sitting with me, he said, well, now, see, it's only about 20 miles to up there, but it takes about 3 hours. I said, well, okay. So I start driving, and all of a sudden it starts raining, and the tires start spinning, and they're spinning, and all of a sudden I hear a noise. I get out in the rain, and the rocks there had split the tire all the way around. It had split a strip of the tire off on my truck. So I just pulled it off, and it was still holding there. And I said, well, let's just keep going. And so we kept going. We went a while, and finally we got up to a real steep grade going up, and the tires were spinning, and all of a sudden that tire goes flat. I said, well, okay. You know, so I try to back down to level ground, and the little trailer jackknives, so I can't go forward and I can't go back. Well, so I'm going to change this tire. And so I get out, I get the jack, I jack it up, and it falls off the jack. I crank it up, jack it up, it falls off the jack. I move around to the other side, I'm right at the edge of the mountain, and I slip off the mountain. And I have to climb back up and get up there. And I tell you, I was not a happy camper. You know, and so finally I decided, well, we'll unload the trailer, then we'll disconnect from the truck, then I can back the truck down to level ground. And so when we disconnected the trailer, it raised the tongue, raised up and stripped paint and chrome off of my new truck. Again, I was not happy. So anyway, we get down the level ground. I get it jacked up. I put the spare on it. I hook up the trailer. I start to go forward, and that tire goes flat. And then I realized that the size tire on my truck, they did not sell in Mexico. And I said, well, how far is it to the nearest place where I can get it fixed? And they told me how far it was. And, you know, he said, you know, it's about that far as the crow flies. I said, well, how far is it if the crow has to walk and carry two flat tires? Well, anyway, to make a long story short, the deal is we had to spend the night. The women got out and they walked the rest of the way up to the village. Took them about 2 hours to walk up there. Me and this other missionary, we spent the night in my truck. I let him sleep in the back seat. I slept in the front, which had bucket seats and a thing in the middle, and I didn't sleep good that night. But the next morning, I got up because this missionary is having the wedding. He's going to send somebody to help me. The next morning, I got up. I grabbed my Bible. I'm angry. I thought about killing the guy. It's not very spiritual, is it? But that's kind of the way I felt. And so I grab my Bible and I walk up the mountain a little ways to get away from this other missionary because I didn't want him to hear what I was saying. And I had a custom at that time. One of the things that I would read every day would be five chapters in the book of Psalms. And so my first chapter for that day was Psalms 91, which is a great chapter. I was reading in the Amplified Bible, and I'm really disgusted. I'm angry. And I get down to verse 10, and in the Amplified Bible, it says, there shall be no evil nor plague come near your tent. And what did I have with me was a tent. When I read that, I began to laugh, and I said, God, you've got a sense of humor. I said, you put that there just for me for this day, and I know you've got a miracle. Well, come to find out, two guys showed up. We took that tire that was flat, and I thought, well, it's a tubeless tire, and all they had was one of these little hand pumps. You couldn't, no way you could pump up a tubeless tire with that. And I looked around and I thought, if I had an inner tube and my trailer had a spare tire and in that spare tire was an inner tube, we took it off. Now, it wasn't the same size. It was a smaller size than the tire on my truck, but I discovered that rubber stretches. So I took that inner tube, put it in that tire. It had 7 patches. I'm serious, 7 patches. We put it in there, put the tire together, pumped it up, and we drove all the way up to the mountain, did the wedding, came back down. Lynn and I had to go to Georgia to a wedding for her brother with that same tire. And when we came back through Dallas, we were at a church, and they heard about what happened, and they bought me 2 new tires. Well, you know, what happened is the Word of God. When you are going through difficult times, you go to the Word of God. It will have something for you that will help you in your most difficult situations. I remember many years ago, my brother and John Osteen had gone to India, and they did a crusade in a little town called Trivandrum. And as a result, they started a church, had about 500 members. They left it in the hands of a missionary there, and he did services every morning and every night with these people. After a few months, this missionary contacted my brother. And he said, I have to leave India. Would you send somebody over here to continue teaching until I can return? And when I heard that, God spoke to me that I should go. And I thought, well, God, I've never been out of the state of Texas before. And you're talking about going to the other side of the world. And I tell you, I prayed, and every night I would go down to the church, nobody there, and I'd walk and I'd spend time around the altar praying and asking God for direction. And I remember one Sunday morning we were having prayer just before service started, and I sat down and I had my Bible open. Now you understand, I'm not a person that says, God, I need a word. And Judas went and hung himself. Go and do thy likewise. I don't follow that type of thing, of a direction. But that particular day, that morning, I was saying, God, I need to make a decision whether to go to India or not. And I looked down at my Bible, and it said this in Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I said, God, are you speaking to me? God said, you're asking for a call to go. He said, I've already given you the call. You need a call to stay at home. Huh? He said, I've already told you to go. And I tell you, I told the church that morning, I said, God told me to go to India. In 15 minutes, they raised the money, and I'm off on the way to India. And I tell you, I flew up from Houston up to Seattle. From Seattle, I was flying out across toward Japan, and all of a sudden, great fear struck me. Have you ever been afraid? Huh? You know, it's one thing to be out of the will of God at home. It's a whole nother thing to be out of the will of God on the other side of the world. And I tell you, I remember I got up out of my seat. I got my Bible. I put it there in the seat, and I knelt on the floor. I didn't care what anybody said. I needed a word. And I tell you, as I spent time in prayer there, kneeling in that plane, God spoke to me. I'm not going to tell you the different scriptures, but it all applied to what God wanted me to do in getting over there to India. Here recently, because of all the fear that people are facing, my daily reading and everything, that particular day I was reading in the Gospel of John chapter 6, and I came across a verse in the New Living Translation, verse 20. It says, Jesus said, don't be afraid, I'm here. You know, what had happened, his disciples were in a boat trying to cross over to the other side, and they got into a storm, and the wind was contrary. They couldn't row enough to get to the other side, and here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they see him. They don't know who he is or what's going on, and Jesus calls out, hey, don't be afraid, I'm here. When I read that, I thought, how many of us, we're in fear and don't know what to do, and yet Jesus is saying, hey, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here. But you see, something even greater than Jesus saying, I'm here, is that the Bible says that Jesus lives inside of us. He is here in us, not over there. He's here. That's why he's saying, don't be afraid. All this junk that's going on that does nothing but produce fear in the lives of people, get away from it and understand Jesus is here with you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done in your life, Jesus is here with you and in you. Wow. See, but these are words from God. Well, you know, another way you can receive a word from God is by this morning hearing the word from somebody, whether it's me or Pastor Lawson or Andrew or somebody else. Pay attention to what you hear. See, this is so important that you have a church like Charis Christian Center that preaches the Word. You know, there's so many that says, well, the Word of God, it's nothing. They want to take it out of the government. They want to take it out of schools. They say, it's the Bible is nothing. You know why they say that? Is because they are afraid of the Bible. That's why they want to get rid of it. They're afraid of it. They say, it's just a book. Well, hey, there's lots of books, but you don't try to get rid of all the others. They want to get rid of the Bible because it is the Word of God, and it'll change people's lives. It helps people live a life of victory. It teaches people how to be victorious in all areas. But listening to the Word of God, like in a church like this, thank God for this church. You know, I remember many years ago, I guess all my stories are many years ago. But I remember one morning there in Mexico, I got up and I'm telling you, all of a sudden there was a pain in my body, right back here. And I tell you, it hurt so bad that there were times I couldn't even stand up. I would get down on the floor and roll around and try to hold myself because the pain was so bad. I understand what women go through when they have babies. My problem was a kidney stone. I didn't know it because I'd never had one before. But they said you can compare a man with a kidney stone to a woman having a baby. It's that painful. And I'm telling you, it was. And finally, another missionary took me to a doctor's office. They laid me on a couch, gave me something for pain, and gave me an IV, and I'm laying on that in his office all day long. Lynn didn't even know where I was or what had happened to me. And until late that afternoon, finally the pain eased up, and the doctor said, well, you can go home. I found out later there was a young guy who came in and kept checking on me all the time, see if I was all right, and I found out he was actually a veterinarian student. And I thought, well, I guess so, you know, a veterinarian taking care of a crow, I guess that'll work. So anyway, I went home, and I knew that it was still there. I could feel it, but it wasn't hurting. And so for a couple of days, I knew it was there, but sooner or later, when it moves, it's going to be more pain. And a friend of mine, Bob Tilton, had a church called A Word of Life in Dallas, and he was doing a conference over satellite. You guys don't even know what satellites are anymore. So anyway, he was doing his service, this particular meeting at his church live over satellite. And so Bob had bought me a satellite dish. It was about a 10-foot dish I had put on my house there in Mexico. And so I turned it over to the satellite he was using, and I'm sitting there in my home. I'm watching him preach live. I'm 700-800 miles away from him. I hadn't talked to him in quite some time. And anyway, I'm sitting in my couch, and of all things, his message that day was faith that can move mountains. When he said that, I raised my hand there in my living room. I said, yes, I have a mountain that needs to be removed. And all of a sudden, he stopped. He looked at the camera, and he said, somebody is watching by television and you've got a mountain in your life. I raised both hands right then. He said these words, I command that mountain. Now listen, most preachers would always say, I command that mountain to be removed. We sang that this morning. But he didn't say that. He said, I command that mountain to be crushed. I felt that thing move in my body. I got up, I went to the restroom, and I passed it crushed. What I'm telling you is that you can hear God as He speaks through other people. Amen? Now, there's a lot of other things I could share with you. But this morning, you could hear a word from me or from Pastor Lawson or from Andrew, a word from God that causes your faith to be very strong. Let me come with this last thing. Instead of, we hear it from God's word, we hear it from others, and then we hear it in our spirit. God speaks directly to us. And every time God speaks to us, there will always be peace. You'll know whether it's God or not, because you'll have peace. Yesterday, Lynn and I went to a restaurant to eat breakfast. And while we're sitting there, this girl that's waiting on us, you know, I didn't know who she was, had a mask on. I thought, don't even know what she looks like. And as I'm sitting there and we're starting to eat, God says, give her some money. It's a word from God. Give her some money. So when we got ready to leave, I handed her $100. We said, this is for you. And she went to crying. And she says, you don't know. I needed money for my child today. You see, God can speak to us. That girl was blessed. Lynn went back in. The girl began to cry. And we left, and then Lynn went back in and gave her one of her books. And the girl broke down, went to crying again, that somebody would care about her. But us hearing God speaks not only from his word, from other people, but God will speak to us and give us direction. Let me tell you one other story, and we're trying to bring this thing to an end. Several years ago, I had to make a trip to the border in my truck. And as I'm driving back, for some reason, I just felt I needed to pray. And so as I'm driving along praying, and then all of a sudden, God said, pray in tongues. So I'm driving down the highway and saying, Ora bahasanda ramanana poro kuriyande. Ila ramananda roboku samanta. Ila rabakasiando robokuriyande. People say, what'd you say, preacher? I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God. Anyhow, I prayed in tongues for about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden I topped a hill. There were four guys standing over on the side of the road waving it for me to stop, and each one carrying an AK-47. And I just sped up, and as I passed them, they shot the back tire of my truck. The tire began to come apart. They jumped in their truck, came up, got up beside me. I slammed my truck into their truck, and I'm taking both vehicles across the highway. Shows you my attitude. And as we're going across the highway, all of a sudden I look and there's two AK-47s right here, this close to my head. So I stopped, and one guy came over with the butt of his rifle. He hit the window of the truck, but it didn't break. When I put the vehicle in park, the doors unlocked, the guy opened the car, the truck pulled me out, pulled me back to the back, and one guy stood in front of me and shot into the ground, and in Spanish, he said, get in our truck. You know, he's going to kidnap me. And I stood there. And I pointed my finger at him. I said, no, in the nome de Jesucristo. In other words, no, in the name of Jesus Christ. He shut up. Another guy came up behind me, grabbed me by the shirt, yanked me, tried to pull me around. He couldn't move me. I tell you, those guys began to back up. Huh? And they kept saying, get in the truck. I said, no, I'm not going to get in the truck. And I tell you, I won't go into all the details, but I tell you, I was delivered. They stole my truck, but I got it back. It was in the shop for 4 months, but I got it back. I tell you, they abused my truck. And so, you know, one of the ways is that in hearing from God, you know, I heard from God that I need to pray in tongues. The Bible talks about when you pray in tongues, it edifies, it builds you up, it strengthens you. It builds up your faith praying in the Holy Spirit. And so these are hearing words from God that will change your life and my life forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.